Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here for a week's fun and roll up with Mac news. And there is some this week, and there's some good hardware as well coming. Not just the stuff that you know about for next Wednesday, but there's plenty more as well. Chris is already salivating over a new graphics card. I'm here to talk about the week's Mac news with a great panel. We've got a full bunch today. Joining us top left, Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How's it going, pal?
Hey, good.
Early coffee. In homemade
early
cups.
Coffee, a little tired. It was a big week because I do web development over at the Mac Observer, and we launched a new site. I don't know if anybody noticed.
I didn't know. You should have tweeted. If you'd have CC'd me on the tweet, I'd have retweeted
it yesterday. I'm just trying to remember if I noticed anything new
after the show. I'll take myself over
the
there.
The TMO spin, is that a new thing? The TMO spin.
No, the whole website, we redid the whole engine. We upgraded our software that we use from version 1 to version 2. I mean, it's like a massive thing. So we're still, you know, there's still little things that we're patching up, and there's a lot more to come. But this was the big push. This was like, you know, the big giant project. And
smooth.
So we finally launched out there. It went actually surprisingly.
That's good.
Surprisingly well. A couple of little bumps, but. Nothing we couldn't handle, but it makes for long days.
Yeah.
I noticed Jeff still isn't wearing pants, though.
Yeah. We couldn't get that to change.
is that on a feature for next version? Oh, sorry.
Next item.
I think the update for Jeff is no shirt.
That's the upgrade. Oh. No.
Well, if it's documented, it's a feature, not a bug.
Chris, drinking beer. Well done, mate. I like that. Next to him, we got Carl Swagger. How you doing, mate?
I'm good. Long week, actually. It's been. I'm ready for the weekend.
Good, man. Drinking as well or not? You know how to beer?
No, just Propel. No, just Propel.
What's Propel? That sounds like fluid. Lighter fluid.
It is fluid, as you can see.
No,
it's
lighter.
Like Gator, let me give you the actual slogan. It's how Gatorade does water.
It's a mixture between Gatorade and nitro fuel,
something like that.
Yeah,
it has a little
keeps me up.
Don't trust anything that's got a brand name and it's clear.
Mm. Oh well,
vodka and water. Those are only things.
Half gone.
Oh boy.
If it has a viscosity rating, do not drink.
I'll check. I'll let you know through the show.
And the man already with a beer in his hand, and whose articles are going to get better and better as the day goes on, Chris Forsman. How you doing, mate? From Ars Technica.
Good morning.
Good. Starting the day right. Cornflakes and beer. Good week. You've had 2 weeks away, haven't you? You sent Gimont in your stead last week.
Mm-hmm.
She can talk, mate. God, can she talk?
Yeah.
Here's me thinking. I'm right. Okay. She comes on the big show last night, and I thought, I'll take the piss out of her a bit for talking too much, and it'll kind of like, I obviously talk too much. Not a bit of it. Just even worse. She's the only person I know, I said it last night, she's the only person I know who can talk more and breathe less than Eric Lanigan. Christ.
That's funny.
Serious. Next to Mr. Forsman, we've got with Starsky and Hutch. It's been coming for a few weeks now, but finally it's here. The third Hutch in Starsky and Hutch and Hutch.
The third Hutch.
William Green, how you doing, mate?
I'm the white huggy bear, I am.
You are? That could be you.
Yeah, could be.
What was his... Did he have a slogan? What was his... Did he have a catchphrase? What was Huggy Bear's catchphrase? And then we'll get Will to say it before the end of the show. You can do a Huggy Bear impression. No, that'd probably get us sued.
Yes.
How's the week in Stoneburn?
Very good, very good. Yes, very busy. Looking forward to next week.
Now then, yes, I was going to say next week, because we've got an event coming up. Everyone knows about an invitation to an event in California.
Yeah, that's my birthday. You guys are all coming?
Oh, cool.
No, No, I'm joking.
That was so nice of Apple to throw a party for your birthday.
If you'd have said sooner, I'd have been there, but I can't. I've got an Apple event to go to.
Oh, that's not the event you were talking about? You guys didn't get your invites?
No, there's allegedly the launch of a new iPhone next week on Wednesday, and the London Mac User Group has created a huge event. It's going to be at the George Hotel in London Bridge in London, and it starts at 5:30 in the evening. Everyone's welcome. There is a limit on numbers because it's not an enormous room, but we should be able to get a couple of hundred in there. And you can watch the live blogs with us, and there'll be a live podcast going out on British Tech Network. And Adam, you can join us if you'd like to for the launch. Come on. Yeah, great. We'll suss that out. I'm not sure how we're going to do it, but we'll manage. And you can watch the launch, and Will's going to be there in the flesh.
I certainly am.
Yes.
All fleshed up
and oiled.
Yes.
Goose fatted.
Yes.
And I'll be there as well. And DHM, you coming?
Wednesday's not good for me, I'm afraid. It's the old market thing, so I'm stuck in Cirencesterera.
There we go. So you're giving up the opportunity of drinking beer at the George so that you can be ignored by Princess Anne at the Cirencesterera Cornhall.
This may change over the weekend. I'm all the options over.
Do you know what a market overt is?
A market overt? No, go on.
Yes. Yeah, it's... I don't know if they do them anymore, or whether it's still legal to do it. But so, if you've got stolen property and you want to sell it, if you take it to a market overt, you can do, and there's no sort of comeback on the people who buy it, because, I don't know, it's some sort of ancient law. So, if, for instance, you come into my studios and robbed all my Macs, bastards... you could sell it at a market overt, and they wouldn't be able to get you.
I'm sure that's got to have been replaced by now, surely.
I don't know, maybe. I can't remember.
One would hope so.
Yeah, it was certainly in power in the early 90s, so I don't know if it's still here or not. And I thought I'd start with a bit of trivia, you know.
Let's do a
QI version of...
A QI version, no, because it wouldn't last long enough. We're supposed to fill an hour.
A little bit, how to commit crimes and get away with them, right?
Yeah, Will Green, shouts Ian Mitchell, I'm going to bring the USB stick and the 20 quid I owe you.
Oh!
Yeah, that's interesting.
I don't need the 20 quid. Oh, I wouldn't want a USB stick.
Abolished in 1995, Will.
Oh, no!
That's pretty up to date for me, isn't it?
That's actually 95 is a bit, it's cutting edge for you, yeah. And last but by no means least, I haven't finished the bloody introductions yet and we're off. It's Dr. Appy Mac. How are you doing, mate?
Hello, it is. I'm
drinking
the weekend.
How did it go with the special customer who uses the front door?
Special.
And never knows how she's going to pay you.
Yes, it was very special.
Have you refused to see her at her place from now on?
I went to her house. I took my daughter as cover. I said to Brian, we're going to live. I said, do you want to come with me?
Hang on. Stop a minute. I just want to, if you're in Gloucester Social Services and you're listening to this, right, so the lady that tries to get you to shag her to pay for her Mac fixings, you don't like, so you take your daughter?
I'm sorry, I'm not seeing anything wrong here.
No, of course not.
To use as a human shield, just, right?
Yes, exactly.
You didn't
just like, pick her up. Take her, throw.
No, hey, this is getting worse.
Well, what I was suggesting, I was just thinking it would be like, you know, like garlic for vampires, but like for cougars.
We've gone from something that's mildly inappropriate to white child slavery. I mean, it's just.
Yes, basically, I thought it would be a sort of a shielding mechanism that she wouldn't mention anything. And she wouldn't go too mental with my 15-year-old daughter in tow.
So did she offer your daughter, you know, a quiet room with some building blocks or something like that while you two went and fixed the Mac in inverted commas?
No, we have a date on Monday at her employer's house.
I want a piece of your life. No. Dude.
You can have this piece. Yes, you're welcome. Where's my address and send it to?
Whatever's wrong with her Mac, I'll fix it. No question.
I feel for certain now his phone's being hacked by the Murdochs.
Jesus. I managed to get my phone back. I fixed it and I've got it all working. I can't get the what's it thing. You know where you cover it with your ear and it switches off. It doesn't do that. So I keep pressing hold with my cheek. If you're on the phone to me and you're listening. I just thought...
That's the part you were missing, that little piece. That's it.
Yeah, but I just thought you might like to know, now I've got the phone back and working, what actually happened, because I was shooting video at the time. So here's me shooting Bryony. It's a little bit jerky here. I'll put this properly in the video. But here she wants to run to the camera and have a little picture with her dad. There we go. There, that's it. That's it. So that's a lovely piece of video. Ellis, not wishing to be outdone, says, can I do that, Dad? Yeah, all right. No more problem, mate. Here you go. So this is Ellis. As you can see, he's got a tad more pace. And, oh dear. There we go. That was the end of my iPhone. That's how it happened. And it was completely starred and crazed across the front after that.
Wait, did he drop?
No, drop doesn't really cover it. He ran into me at full pace and knocked it out of my hands. And it landed face down. So there we go.
Well, I'm sure everybody...
I noticed there's no audio there, Ewan. So we're not hearing you go, you get...
No, because if I actually said what I called him, then Birmingham Social Services would be involved.
Okay.
Well, I let mine get run over by cars, you know. And I couldn't... I didn't just have to do just my iPhone. I fully did my iPad as well.
Oh, man.
A couple weeks ago.
Oh, man. How much does that cost? Because you can't.
My car and drove away, yes. And then they sat on a very busy road for about 10 minutes.
So, I mean, you can buy digitizers and screens and stuff for your iPhone, but I've not seen anything for iPad. You've got to take it to Apple, and Apple are going to hump you to get that fixed, surely.
Yeah, I did have fun with the Genius. So the iPad was mostly intact.
Really, when you think about it, it's like they're paying you.
the iPad was mostly intact, and so I had the smart cover, and so I put the smart cover over the screen. There's pictures on my Facebook if you want to see how horrific it was. It's actually kind of pretty. There are all these spider cracks on the screen, but I'm pretty sure it got run over. But anyway, so I put the smart cover over, and I went in, I made my Genius Bar appointment, and the woman comes over and says, okay, yeah, so what's the problem? I said, well, you know, the touch screen's not working quite right.
Because a car's run over
really,
it.
Don't really know what happened. And then I opened it up, and she had a good chuckle. So
yeah,
and that's when I found out that Apple has an out-of-warranty kind of replacement program, I guess.
That
so I didn't have to pay
how much
full boat. It was $299 US to get it replaced, and that's a 64 gig new iPad.
Okay, I mean that's Wi-Fi. Good. It's good, but it's still an ouch.
Yeah, because I didn't have the Apple Care Plus.
It's still still take more careful.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad luck, mate. But
they took care of me though. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. I did get new. Then they put new back glass on my iPhone. My iPhone was fine, surprisingly.
New back glass is a piece of cake. It's two screws in 5 seconds. There we go. Mm-hmm. Talking of new iPhones, new glass anyway. next
I was
week,
say, yeah, you, new one.
We've got the event. The invite went out, and straight away I noticed, although that looks subtly like it's a 12 shadow, it's not. It's a 5 o'clock shadow. And there's a little iPhone-y type antenna break there in the 5 shadow at the top. So it's definitely coming on the 12th. And what was interesting was they're calling it iPhone 5 by the looks because they've put the 5 in.
Yeah.
Everyone had money on it going back to being the iPhone, didn't they?
Not everyone, but a lot of people. Well, it's really confusing because, you know, a lot of people consider this to be the fourth generation iPhone.
Because, well, it's the 6, though, isn't it, effectively?
Yeah, I mean...
It's a 6 model.
I should say some people with more time than sense have been arguing with me about this for the last couple of weeks. Because I wrote an article, you know, kind of piecing together all the rumors we've heard and everything, trying to get a feel for like what we expect this iPhone to be like. And I kept referring to it as the 6th generation iPhone because, you know, some people, people have been calling it iPhone 5, but that seems kind of weird to do because the iPhone 4S was supposed to be called the iPhone 5, and it seemed too confusing. And I just wanted like, okay, this is unambiguously the 6th generation. This is the 6th iPhone Apple's released, so I'm going to call it 6th generation. And still people argued that, no, it's actually the 4th because they had the 3G and the 3GS, and that was just really one, and then the 4 and the 4S, and that's just really one. So this is like really the 4th design. And I was like, okay, well, it's the 4th external design. That doesn't make it the the fourth generation device. I mean, they have a new one every year.
I'm already asleep.
Who gives a toss? Let me get back to my beer.
I think the most concise rationale behind it that I've heard so far was John Syracuse saying, if I call it an iPhone 5 and you can identify it from that in order to argue with me about which phone we're talking about, you lose because you know which phone I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a very good point.
That is a good point. It's a very good point. I mean, what's the sentiments going to be? I mean, we're close now. We've had all of these rumors. We've discussed rumors ad infinitum. Are we at the stage now where we're trembling with anticipation of this fantastic device that's going to hit us? Or is there a bit of kind of, well, actually, from what everyone said, the leaks are pretty accurate, and this could be a bit of a damp squib.
Yeah. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm ready to upgrade. Bring it on.
So you're going to upgrade regardless?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, because I'm still on the 4. I never upgraded to the 4S. I didn't feel the need to talk to my phone. Or maybe I will to the new one. I'll see.
Oh, Siri's great. Set me a timer for 20 minutes.
I agree. I think it's cool, but it was the 4S just wasn't enough for me. Everything looked the same, and I'm all about the jump and how the actual device looks. So, yeah, I'll upgrade, not because there's a new phone, but because I've got about $1.5 million, you know, spent on apps. It's really what it comes down to. Not $1.5 million, but, you know, I'm invested in the App Store, so that's why I'll be upgrading.
Is that $1.5 million pesetas?
No, $1.5 million of free apps on there that I can't live without.
This is the first one that I'm worried about that I might not. I am going to upgrade, of course, no matter what, because I'm crazy like that. But it's the first one that I look at and go, I kind of don't want to trade out my iPhone 4 for the new iPhone 4 or 4S for the new iPhone 5.
Really? Design.
I have to see it in person. And maybe the pictures aren't doing it justice. I still don't like that two-tone back thing.
Well, that harks back to the original, though, doesn't it? That had the plastic aluminium sandwichy thing.
Yeah, and I never really liked that either. I didn't like the feel of it. I didn't like the look of it with the
crap as well.
Technical reason for it. What?
Yeah, that was crap as well.
I'm excited about the technology inside, but design wise, I don't know. I have to see what it looks like, because I see some pictures where it looks like cool. It seems like it looks cool, and then others that it just looks really like there's a jarring difference, and it's just not what I'm used to from Apple. You know, everything's usually smooth and seamless, and you know, here it's like they're pointing out the seams, or you know, making them very obvious. I mean, they even line it up with the little brake lines for the antenna stuff, or what used to be the antenna stuff, you know, on the edge, right? So it's reinforced.
Yeah.
Here's one part and here's two other parts.
Windrider in the chat room says it's all fives. It's 5 in the iPhone 5, 5-inch screen, 5-inch dock connector, 5 rows of apps on the screen, 5 hours of battery life on LTE. And LTE is only available in the US.
There's one thing I do like about the design. I'm totally in agreement with, I don't like how the two-tone back looks. But they seem to have, if the design is correct with what we've been seeing, that glass now sets inside instead of like it laying on top. I thought that was, you know, it's kind of a nice idea. I like how that looks. But other than that, there's not a whole hell of a lot of
difference. It'll be more durable. I mean, hopefully, if you drop it.
Hopefully.
Does anybody know yet if the two ends, if they're glass or if they're plastic?
Oh, I don't know. I would have said that they might be metal even. Could be an anodized.
The clearish looking parts that are on either end?
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Well, I hope they're not. If they're clear, then they're definitely not. They're going to be Gorilla Glass. And apparently, you can't sue. There's been a case involving a whole bunch of people in San Jose who've a class action against iPhone or against Apple, saying that the claims by Apple about Gorilla Glass overstated and misrepresented the strength of the glass materials that were actually used in the iPhone. And I've got to say that my phone only fell from about 4 foot after a 9-year-old careered into it. So, yeah, I agree with them.
What did it land on?
It landed smack flat exactly on the front. I mean,
No, but on concrete, on
cobblestone? Yeah, it was concrete.
Yeah.
flat concrete as well.
So you dropped something made of glass 4 feet on the concrete and you're surprised that it broke?
I think it's disgraceful. They've overstated. They've clearly overstated the strength. If it's gorilla grass, I expect a gorilla to be able to run into it at full pelt and it to fall 4 feet onto concrete and it to survive. Not just my son.
I'm just going to... Now, excuse me for playing devil's advocate here, but Apple never said anything. Apple doesn't even tell people it's Gorilla Glass.
That's corny.
So Apple's not making any statements about it.
We're using Corning's toughened glass, yeah.
I mean, they use it primarily for scratch resistance.
I know. I'm only kidding, Forsman. I'm not going to say Jesus.
They did have those videos. They did have those videos. It's like in the manufacturing process where they're sitting there and how strong it is, and they're pressing down on it. Ooh, look at it bend.
I remember. I'm sure one of these glasses being suspended between two bricks and Jobs jumping up and down on it. I just got that in my head. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I saw that.
Yeah. So the claim is, if you grab the phone and you flex it, it'll be fine.
Exactly.
You know, just grab both edges and bend it. It'll be fine all day.
Yeah, just don't do it to 90 degrees.
Right.
Absolutely. Kindle have released a Fire HD. It's $499 in the biggest version. It comes with always-on 4G LTE for $50 a year. You'll end up getting that. It's only 250 megabytes transfer, unfortunately. And they do a 7-inch and an 8-inch, or a 7-inch and a 9-inch. They've got this timing exactly right. I think they probably looked at all of the things that came out from the rumours about someone looked at Moscone and saw when it was booked for and all that kind of thing. And just like Nokia, they've probably deliberately gone in ahead. Differently from Nokia, however, Amazon have actually got this thing ready. It's pre-ordering today and it ships on November 2nd. And
full prices and ship dates.
Well, you know the difference between it looked good. Go ahead, Chris.
You know the difference between ooh and ah?
No, go on.
2 inches.
Apparently so. Thank you, mate. Can we have a quick show of hands? Do I need to bleep that? No? Chat room?
No. It's Chris. Just leave it in.
So what are we saying then? I mean...
Are they going to extradite me?
Apple going to be quivering a bit at this, or are they... they don't give a toss?
No.
Isn't this the one that has the ads as well?
Yes. Yes, the Kindle Fire is ad-supported.
Yeah.
That's your only option.
There you go.
Your only option.
This morning, you cannot pay extra to not get ads.
So you can pay less to not have a phone.
What?
You could just pay more to get an iPad, basically.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was things last night. I mean, they said that they'd sold out of Kindle Fires, and then someone came out with a stat last night that Kindle Fire outsold the iPad. What?
No.
No.
No, I didn't get that either.
There's no evidence to support. First of all, the Kindle Fire has only been available in the US so far.
Yeah. So there's no way it's going to do that. Or maybe it outsold it on a Wednesday in Oregon to women over 65. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did I just hear Apple and give a toss in the same sentences, Alec? That would be a first. True. Good point.
Well, so spec-wise, this new one, I mean, how does it play out against the iPad 2 that Apple's selling?
It's a near retina display. It's not quite retina, but it's. I think they're only sort of 10 pixels per inch off being retina. It's 32 gig for the largest one, and it's running Jelly Bean, which I've talked to a few people about running Jelly Bean on their phones, and they say it's a very fast and responsive OS.
It's a fork of 4.0, so it's ice cream sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, is it? It's not Jelly Bean?
Yeah.
I thought it was a screw of Jelly Bean. I have to say, mm-hmm. I mustn't have read that properly last night then. But it's a responsive OS and it's fast. It's got a quad core processor in it, hasn't it? So it should run pretty well. They want it to sell content. It's just whether they're going to sell content or not. And they've released a new paper white monitor as well to try and boost up the books business. Which
I like that.
On the regular Kindle,
yeah,
the paper white is that what it's called? Yeah. I like that as an e-reader. I still have always, even if you got an iPad, there's something about that Kindle, you know, that e-ink experience. It's just more soothing on the eyes to read it that way. So I was happy to see that product. And it's, what is it, $119, which isn't bad.
Yeah. I mean, they're talking about it being like a glowy thing. It's not backlit, but there's a glowy surface.
Yeah.
And I just, is that going to work outside? Because that was a big selling part, wasn't it? No, I'm sure it's not radium powered.
Does it grow green or blue?
It's propel powered.
I think it's a white. Like, it's not a.
It's a white, like glowy surface, which you can read, but I don't know whether it works outside or not. But it's not backlit. Definitely not backlit.
What do you mean if it works outside or not?
Well, because that was the thing. The Kindle always, one of the big selling features of the Kindle that it had over iPad, you go to the beach and you could read a Kindle on the beach because it could use it in the sun, whereas you couldn't use an iPad to read anything.
Ink is reflective technology. It's not transmissive.
So jinx. I don't understand how the paper white thing is working. So
it's like a I don't know, the Nook has that touch glow, and it has an array of LEDs that basically like light it up. So I don't know if it's that. I don't know. I suspect it's something like electroluminescence.
You lost me. I've got to be honest. What are you talking about?
Greeny.
Fireflies. Yeah.
At the time. Look at
magic
the time.
Fireflies inside.
Right, Greeny, yeah. Did you know that Amazon had a press event yesterday, finished by 8 p.m.?
If I'm truthful, no, I didn't.
Right, and they've released a new Kindle Fire, which is like the near retina display thingy with as a tablet, 7-inch and 9-inch. But as a top end over and above the Kindle, they've got a thing called the Paperwhite, which is, instead of being e-ink, which is black on grey, and kind of nice enough to look at, but you know it's still not particularly sharp. This thing looks like a proper page green on a book, but it's not backlit. So I don't know how they're doing it.
E-ink or not? Then
it is.
It's e-ink.
It's a variation.
Yeah.
So it's the retina version of e-ink. I don't know. It's like retina e-ink. Better e-ink.
None of you know, do you? None of you know, really.
No, we don't know what it is, but at least we know about the sodding item, you cheeky git.
Well, I'm guessing.
I don't run around quoting laws that were repealed in 1995 as current.
Just give them your money. It's better, as they say it.
Yeah.
I love my Kindle, personally. Would that print to Kindle or send to Kindle or something?
Yes. I thought you'd join in this story because you're a Kindle lover.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I do like, I'm not so keen on reading books on a Kindle. Not so keen on that. But I do like the idea of being able to print, it sounds sad, but like user manuals and things like that and work stuff to my Kindle.
Mm.
I don't find it a particularly enjoyable sort of leisure experience, as it were. You know, there's something nice about holding a book and you stick it in your back pocket and you spill a bit of wine on it or a bit of curry on it or something like that. And somebody can write notes on it and things.
Drive a car over it.
Drive a car over it, no problems. Get your four-year-old to run into it really fast and drop it on concrete and it's okay. So there's lots of nice things about a book that I still don't think a Kindle or any electronic reader.
Gasmas says, well, you do realise you can swap books, but you can swap a Kindle as well. You get a shitload of books for that. I've just sworn, I just realised, damn, I'm going to have to bleep that. Never mind.
You did it to
someone
yourself.
I did it to me. Someone asked if you get it in the UK at the same time. That's
no.
The thing with these announcements, right? They don't. Apple finally, at least, has started doing the multiple country release thing simultaneously. But
I've had enough of America.
Good dog, steady on, mate. Go on, get yourself on an FBI hit list.
No, not really. I mean, to be fair to America, they're great. But I mean, if you look at like things like Amazon, Google, Apple, Microsoft, it's all American. It's not right, is it?
Yeah.
Should be shared out.
Hey, darn those American companies.
Hey, sorry, we're just better than you.
Well, I don't mind, I suppose, that. But I think we should take some of it back.
Yeah, but the thing is, Will, we're like a child with ADHD. We start tons of things and we never finish them.
Yeah, that's true.
We invented the jet engine and someone else did it better. We invented the rocket and Americans use it to get someone to the moon. It's that's us all over. We invented cryptography, and the Germans were better at it than us.
Well, the Germans are very good. Isn't that where America got most of its technology from, the Germans?
Yeah.
As a payback after World War II?
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. They stole all the Germans.
Yeah.
America stole all the Germans.
We didn't want them anyway.
We've got a title.
They can sign off to America. I don't want any Germans.
Oh, dear me.
Time on Sprocket until we dance.
I've just noticed in the chat room, because he's just said hello. Jim's in the chat room. Mac Jim. James Ormiston.
He's not German, is he?
He's just said hello to Adam Christensen. I just want to say a big thank you to Jim, because this week I had really no time, and Jimmy's helped out doing all of the docs for all of the shows, so all the stories that have gone in, that kind of thing. He spent loads of time shoving stuff in for us to read. So thanks, Jim. I'd have been lost without you. And it was a difference between me walking in last night and frantically trying to get something together for the big show and me being able to have half an hour with the kids before I did it. So it's enriched my life amazingly. Thanks, Jim. Do appreciate it. Round of applause for Jim in the chat room, eh?
Yes.
Absolutely. NVIDIA have released a new card, and the card is specifically made for the Mac Pro. This thing is a 4 GB graphics card. Maximum resolution it supports is 4K, which is hugely leaping forward, and support for OpenGL, OpenCL, NVIDIA CUDA, and it looks gorgeous. I don't know how many screens it runs simultaneously, but looking on the back of it, I think it could be four, because it's got two HDMI outs, two DVI outs, and I think those are mini HDMI or might be a DisplayPort. But anyway,
new DisplayPort.
Where's the Thunderbolt, mate? Where's the Thunderbolt display? I see no Thunderbolt.
No, there isn't a Thunderbolt on there, that's for sure.
Is that VHS or Betamax, that thing?
Oh, it could be Betamax, absolutely, you're right. Yeah, could be.
Graphics card technology is the only technology I know that just gets larger and larger, right? It doesn't get smaller. The thing looks like, I looked at the picture, it looks like a VHS tape. It looks like it could pop that in
huge.
Into my VCR and Top Gun would start playing.
Well, I bought a 6870, an HD 6870 from Radiant, and for the Hackintosh when I was running that, and that thing is a monster, and it spins like billio if you don't get the power right on it. They're talking $2,250 for this thing. So
Whoa. You've
got to be loving your gaming for this. But I mean, you got excited about this, Chris. You love it.
Well, this is for graphics professionals, and we're talking like, you know.
Well, if you got the 4K, you're up to video guys, yeah.
Right. I mean, you're talking like cinema editors. You're talking science visualizations. You're talking illustrators. Computer animators. We're talking some pretty high end work. So these are cards for people who do this stuff for a living. For sure, it's actually not even good for gaming. Like, this is not the card you want to get if you're if you're really into gaming. NVIDIA and AMD already make cards available for that, but this is specifically designed for like really high-end compositing and video editing and rendering and things like that. So it's a big deal, because the last card that NVIDIA released for these people is the Quadro 400. That was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Wow.
And so today's gaming cards actually surpass the performance of it at this point. So it's definitely a big deal for the Mac Pro users that work in these high-end arenas. So,
but nothing more.
It is. I think it's pretty cool.
Lord knows, if you've got a Mac Pro, you need something to keep yourself interested and awake.
Right. Excellent.
Not that they've upgraded anything, though.
I'll drink to that.
Go on, Grinny. You were saying something.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it's a good sign for Mac Pro users and lovers, because somebody like NVIDIA wouldn't put the investment into a product without talking to Apple to suss out the sort of the future commitment by Apple.
Do you think Apple would tell them?
I think so, yeah. I mean, they've got such a big relationship or a history of working together. I can't imagine at that level, you know, that sort of board level.
No, I hadn't thought of that. That's a good point. You know, if they really have got some consultation with Apple, and Apple have said, yes, you'll go ahead and make it, and we'll give you some support with it, then that would be fantastic. But could there be a new Mac Pro coming? Not next week, though.
I'm sure there will be. I think if it was going to if it was going to be killed off, it would have been killed off by now.
There was a question came out the other night. We're all down the pub at the George, sussing it out for next week, and Aaron Claydon was there with his brother, and his brother was talking about getting an iMac, and Aaron said, well, hold off on the iMac. You know, there could be a change any time through the winter period. And yeah, there could be. But I mean, does anyone think that there's going to be a form factor change in the desktop stuff, or is Apple just kind of leaving it now? They're not going to invest any more in that? Because I can't see them changing the form factor, but I can see them bumping the processors, etc., or bumping up some speed somewhere else, or the bumping the graphics cards and so on.
Well, I feel like they don't have to really do anything except bump the processors and graphics cards, yeah. Really. And it'll still serve the market that are interested in it. And I'm not sure that Apple is that interested in growing that market. I think if they were interested in growing it, then they absolutely would have something a little more radical.
But I mean, the iMac design stands up. It's still a good-looking mm-hmm. machine. There's nothing out there that's kind of you think is going to be looking better or acting better. And it's what's inside and how it functions. The screen's beautiful. Why change it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but I mean, the same argument for the Mac Pro, too.
Yeah. I mean, to Chris's point, just talk to people and in general. And most people are moving to mobile. I mean, there's always going to be a need for desktops, and the Pro is going to be around for a long time, and the Mac desktops are going to be around for a long time, but it's a smaller and smaller percentage of computer users are using those platforms, and Apple's smart about that. So, mm-hmm. you know, they don't have to do a lot. Eventually, there's going to be, I think, a radical change, but, you know, they're doing stuff on the OS side that's going to lead up to that, and, you know, we've seen the designs. I think at a certain point, some of the touch stuff and the desktop stuff merges, and I think Apple's still figuring all that out to make sure that experience works well. And I know that like some of the PC manufacturers are rushing out. So I saw an article somewhere, somebody on the PC side just came out with a new touchscreen desktop, right? Is it HP who's doing that? Or
yeah,
I think HP, Samsung, Vizio even has one that actually looks quite impressive. This is the whole thing with Windows 8, you know, having this kind of like pseudo, you can touch it, you can mouse it, whatever, kind of trying to be all things to all people. So,
right. Do you think they're rushing that out, though? I mean, it seems like it's just not fully thought out. And I think that's what Apple's kind of in the background taking their time. And I think they've been working on this for a really long time. And I think they just haven't figured out where the market is, and even if the market's really ready for it. And I, you know, this is what happened to Windows, in my opinion, when they released tablets. You know, it was just sort of like, let's take a laptop, flip the screen around, and throw a pen on top of it and call it a tablet. And that's mm-hmm. why it never really worked. And Apple just doesn't do that sort of thing. So, you know, I think they'll keep revving the desktop machines until they can kind of figure out when the market is ready and when they're ready to really change the paradigm of how desktops, quote unquote, work.
I mean,
they're up to something.
They're still selling units, though, so there is a market there to fulfill. There is a need, a customer need to satisfy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they recognize it's getting smaller and smaller. And when I talk to people, you know, almost nobody I know is talking about getting a desktop. There's a certain kind of user that gets a desktop, but more and more, the most consumers are wanting mobile devices. They're wanting phones and tablets and laptops.
But you said it, didn't you? Consumer.
Yeah, consumer.
Yeah, consumer. So, as a sort of, consumer as in, I don't know, home or self-employed even, user. When it comes to
Go
finish your point, Will.
Sorry, yeah.
Corporate user, I know it sounds daft, but just from a sort of a corporate brainwashing point of view, when a company wants somebody to come into work, they want them to sit at the workstation and they want them to focus on their work in hand. And I know it sounds daft, but that's still probably the 90% of the reason that the corporate or business people who employ people to sit at a desk use the desktop model because it's almost like an anchor. It's an anchor to the desk. Mm-hmm. It's a control mechanism from a sort of workflow. And just to finish my last bit, as far as the design point of view is concerned, there's still a long way to go, I think, with the iMac. I mean, for me, the big aluminium bar at the bottom with the Apple symbol, it's pretty bloody ugly, and it doesn't need to be there. And also, I don't like the big black sort of 1-inch frame, if you like, that goes around the display. That doesn't need to be there either. So it might take a few years, but I think eventually you'll see both of those go, and you'll get the display that properly goes from edge to edge and is rounded slightly at either corner.
Mm.
Mm.
A bezel-free iMac is unimaginable, says iBookery. So he disagrees with you. A lot of love for the iMac,
though,
in the chat room. Love my iMac. New iMac without a DV drive and new form factor is going to be coming. Windrider wants the cube back. Bad luck, mate. And a lot of people are loving them at the iMac. The iMac's got a very special place.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't implying that the iMac is going away. I don't think I did.
Yeah, go on, Adam. Go on.
Did I?
Oh, man, he's so proud of you.
Fewer and fewer people are wanting them, and I'll stick by that.
Mm-hmm. And I think you hit it right when you said consumer. I say it all the time. Apple is becoming a consumer company. They are becoming Sony. They are becoming mainstream. They are becoming the popular. And it's not.
They're a mainstream consumer electronics firm more than they are a computer manufacturer now.
Yes. Exactly. Well, exactly.
But let's be fair. They acknowledged that years ago when said we're dropping the computer. I mean, right.
I'm just saying that, you know, this. Oh, yeah. No, you're correct, Chris. I'm just saying that they're showing that now. I mean, they're really, really showing that now that the market for the Pro is going to be, I've said this before, it's going to be a secondary thing. Yes, the Pro is going to be there. They're going to cater to the Pro needs because that's what companies do. But their main focus is always going to be on the mainstream consumer now. And I think, and that's how we're going to see Apple probably in the next 5 to 10 years until somebody else comes along. I mean, I think Apple's going to get to a point where they're going to become too mainstream. They're going to become too popular if they stay on the path that they're on, honestly, if that makes any sense.
I think
everybody has their highs and lows.
Well, there's a point with Apple that when they get to a certain popularity and hit the mainstream, they then have to think a little bit differently about their PR, because their PR is then against hardened consumers who look at other companies around them who are electronic consumer manufacturers. And start saying, well, you know, there's comparisons going on here. There's no fanboy anymore that's looking and sustaining your business model through buying whatever you produce, regardless of how crap it is. That's the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Teresa in the chat room says, I'd like a new one, but I'd want one with an SSD for boot. I mean, that's the thing to think about there is you can boot from an SSD regardless of what your Mac is. Just get yourself a little drive enclosure, buy yourself a cheap SSD and stick it in it. And from USB, you can boot up into any Mac formatted drive. So it won't make any difference and you'll still get the performance. That's the beauty of OS X. Mm.
You know what I'd like to do?
Is it broadcastable?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. I'm really missing some of my old school software. Moncab Max, the Lesser Writer, a few of them that all need Rosetta, so they're all PowerPC, and I can't run them anymore, and it upsets me.
They've dumped Rosetta.
I know.
Yeah, bad luck, mate.
I know this, and it seems a shame, really, because there's no reason.
You dual boot a lot, though, don't you? So
I do dual boot, yeah, but it's a bit of a pain in the bum, isn't it, dual booting?
Yes.
And
Do you guys not have old... I mean, I have old Macs around that still run that I use for these kinds of things.
What?
Like, come on, we're all Mac people here, right? You got like a million Macs in your spare bedroom or garage or basement or whatever you guys have over there.
I would like to say a very big thank you to
Seller
Arnold at the London Mac User Group, because he was walking around last couple of months ago saying, I've got an old G3 iMac, would anyone like it? And he came past me and I said, I'll have it. And he sent me his iMac, the original powder blue iMac. So thank you, Arnold. It's going to take pride in place.
Oh, no, this is the iMac. I have a blue and white G3 that still runs.
Yeah. And I've got my old, I've got a thing here.
iMac. I have a Mac Mini that I reuse. So, you know, when I have those needs, that's typically what I do and what I recommend to people. And if you don't have one, you can get one secondhand. I mean, there's people that just want to get rid of Macs very often because they've upgraded and they're several generations past. So, you know, I know it's not ideal, but...
Well, a lot of times when I worked at Purdue University, a lot of times they would, you know, they had like a 4 or 5 year replacement cycle. They'd replace them. Mm. And they would, sometimes they give them to me because I knew, they knew that like I knew how to use them and knew how to take care of them. And I ended up with a stack of PowerPC Macs in my bedroom, which my girlfriend eventually made me give away. But I mean, a lot of times people give them to you, but there's also, you know, a pretty solid market for good functioning used Macs. And I know here in the U.S. there's a really good company out in Oregon called Power Max that is really good about selling used stuff. But I mean, surely there's something in the UK that's comparable.
That's some not really my point.
Tech serve, I mean, or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you were probably going to the point, like, can these developers update these apps? Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, surely, technically, there's no reason why Rosetta can't run on a 64-bit Mac running OS 10.8, is there? And there's few apps that I miss, and it'd be nice, rather than sort of, you know, like, going on the train up and down to London, sort of plugging in your 1999 iMac. I mean, I know they've got a handle, but they're a bit wieldy, and it'd be nice to have that inside your laptop, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be. What is the deal with virtualization and licensing and not? Because that's mostly a licensing thing, right? So is there some reason Apple can't go back and say, yes, you can virtualize, you can run this old OS?
They won't let you do it.
Virtualized environment.
Route. They won't let you do it. I don't know why.
It's a licensing thing. I think it has to do with the license, which is why like new. Or this is what I've been told, and it sounds logical to me, because moving forward, after virtualization became available, Apple's been releasing OSs like Lion could be virtualized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean,
I think
here's a question: Snow Leopard still has Rosetta, right?
Yeah.
So I know you can virtualize Snow Leopard server,
right?
Maybe, just saying.
No, you can. Yeah, and again, I think it has something... This is the weirdest thing, because it has something to do with the license, and what I was told by someone was that, you know, they'd have to go back if they change the license, because it's like this legal thing, the thing that nobody reads, right? They're going to have to go back and somehow notify people that there was a change, and it's just not worth doing. Mm-hmm. Sounds logical to me. I mean, it sounds like one of those stupid lawyer things that you're like, this is so dumb, but probably makes sense.
I want to run Monkey Island 1, proper 8-bit Monkey Island. And can I do it? No, I can't.
I will.
I've got some hot news off the press.
Oh.
Ooh.
Go on.
Hot news right off the press. According to Fox News' Clayton Morris, Apple is getting ready to launch new iMacs. According to a new report, the update of the iMac line will be coming very soon. Computers will come with an Intel Ivy Bridge processors, as well as better graphics and USB 3.0. Look for the choices of a 21.5-inch through a 27-inch model.
But that won't change the form factor, though. That's what we're saying. The form factor isn't going to change in the iMac.
Or the capabilities of a Monkey Island one.
If
there's any devs out there that can get Monkey Island to run 1.0 to run on Will Green's Mac, I'll give you 20 quid. I promise.
And also, if monks have Macs,
isn't that Freeverse?
And monks have Macs. Make that? Freeverse.
Didn't Freeverse make Monkey Island Solitaire?
I don't know.
That was Burning Monkey Solitaire, which is an awesome version of Solitaire.
Okay. But,
yeah. You can run Monkey Island on the original 8-bit Monkey Island on your iPad, right? I think I have it.
So why don't you just AirPlay it to your TV or your Mac, and then it would feel the same?
There's just a couple of examples. I've got a load of classic apps that I've been using for probably 15 years that I've always used on PowerPC, and I can't use them anymore, and it's upsetting.
Well, do you need a PowerPC machine?
Can they make my Apple IIe Choplifter run, too, please?
Yeah, you can get an Apple II emulator.
Will, if you need a PowerPC machine, I've got one you can have.
I've got one. I've got one too.
Well, stop complaining then.
Oh, well, I'm going to stop. I made my point.
Just stuff Tiger on it and get on with it.
Yeah, but then I have to dual boot. All I'm saying is I can't see a reason.
You'd why have to dual boot a G3. I don't think so.
Here's what we need. We need Microsoft to bring back Virtual PC.
Virtual PC. Well, I mean, that is really
God.
Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Virtual PC is a PowerPC program as well.
Dr. Happy Matt, you've got some people here who want to come on the retro show with you, I think.
I know. It's all sounding very... There's much love for the whole retro thing going on.
Well, good. When are you doing your episode?
The 12th, I think.
12th. Oh, you're kidding. Not on the night of the launch. Well, how's Will going to be on that?
Oh, shit, yeah. That's a good point.
That's good. There's an edit.
Oh.
But there was a message from Apple on the answer phone saying, is the 12th okay? And I, without thinking, I just said, yeah, it sounds fine to me. I'm not, you know, I can't come. I'm in the market. Just, you know, knock yourselves out. But I'd forgotten about the retro show recording, and now they've done their bloody event all over the top of me.
And Will's not going to be there, so I'd change it if I were you.
No, Apple can change it, can't they?
I'll have a word. Tim Cook's ringing up after the show. I'll have a word.
They'll be all right, won't it? They haven't actually... Nobody's actually there yet.
No.
It'll be fine. No, actually, though,
I think they've already started remodeling the venue. I've seen that a while ago on a tweet somewhere, that they're already inside and they've already started construction.
Yeah,
it'll be all right. It'll be all right.
Surely there's a way to combine the two. I mean, we can be talking about the iPhone 5 in one sentence, if you sort of dial in, and then we can move on to the Newton 120, and then back to the whatever, iOS 6, and we can sort of shuffle between the two. We'd like time travel. It'd be quite good.
Absolutely, Will. Well done. Gaz in the chat room says, off topic, I went to a customer the other day who was running some software under Windows 3.11, and they had a lightning strike, and it destroyed the machine. It's going to cost them £150,000 to rewrite the program, and they can't find a machine that can run 3.11. I've got a Texas Instruments laptop in upstairs that'll run it. It's crap. It won't run it very well, but it'll run it. Give me a shout, Gaz. I'll sort you out. $149.50. I've just had a tweet from AQ220 on Twitter who says, there's not much Apple news this week. Are you getting a bit silly or not? Maybe. Apple has come top for the 8th year running, allegedly, in the JD Power & Associates Smartphone Satisfaction Study. They've won with 5 stars. Next to them was HTC. I can't even remember who they are. And then Samsung, Motorola, Nokia, LG. I want to know how, for 8 years running, they've won a customer satisfaction survey for smartphones when the damn phones have only been out for 7 years. Yeah, exactly. It's only been from 2007 to 2012. How could they win 8 years running?
That don't make no sense.
No, it don't make no sense.
Yeah, it does. It's called under the table. Under the table.
Well, so for the first 3 years before iPhone came out, they bribed their way to a non-existent top of a table, and now that's they've produced it, okay, yeah, I get that.
That's what they got enough money in the bank there. There's enough money to go underneath that table.
Absolutely.
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
That's just how bad phones were. People loved the iPhone before they even had it.
It's possible. Phones did kind of suck before that. You have to kind of say. I mean, they did.
So everything else sucked before. iPhone was the first decent phone. That's why it won 3 years before it was ever came out.
Yeah.
Not to be slightly pedantic and ruin everyone's fun and humor here.
No, please be pedantic.
Matter. But it does, the JD Power thing says 8 times in a row, not 8 years.
True.
8 times in a row.
They do the survey more than once a year.
That's very likely.
Making fun of things.
I hate being dyslexic. News.
Every 3 weeks.
Yeah, I've just got a story through as well on the feeds, on Mac Rumors. Updates to Apple's iMac line reportedly imminent. Unquote. And a curvy backed model by the looks, it says. So, we shall see.
Curvy. We like curvy.
Curvy back. Twitter.
Which is,
Go on, Will.
I was going to say, have you noticed the USB 3's prominence and the lack of anything?
No Thunder Chicken. We see that, Will.
I said this, a year ago, maybe even more?
Thunder Chicken's going to die, you said, yep.
I did.
4 days ago. 4 days ago.
But it's doomed, isn't it? It's only blooming Don McAllister who keeps buying all these Thunderbolt displays. He's keeping it going.
Having said that, mate, there are markets and there's Don McAllister's market. So what Don buys may be enough.
That's exactly it.
To swing things.
He's obsessed by it. He can't help himself.
Twitter is allegedly removing its support for the Mac application, even the official one.
I'm about to remove my support for Twitter.
Man, you've got to say, these guys are, I mean, they are just on a mission. They have probably pissed off a lot more people than Hitler have in a short space of time. They're really not happy, are they? Something's going on.
Here's the thing. They haven't updated it in over a year.
No.
But
it works.
Maybe they finally decided they're going to say they're going to cut support, but they cut support for it forever.
Yeah. It's in freeze, though. They've cut development, is what the story said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, nothing has been developed for it for over a year.
No. But you're
not true. I'll give them that.
None of the new features, nothing. Nothing. No updates, nothing. Not even bug fixes. There's bugs that I've been reporting for over a year that still exist.
So with the API changes that they've had, and the fact that they've now stopped updating their own application, who gives a toss about Twitter anymore?
I'm getting to that point. I mean, app.net is starting to look a lot more attractive day by day. I mean, it's obvious that Twitter wants you to come to the damn website, and they're forgetting what the heck made them popular in the first place, which is these third-party apps on your smartphone, TweetBot, I don't even Echo Phone, tweetings. This is why people use Twitter, you morons.
Here's the thing. The very first third-party client for Twitter was Twitterific on the Mac.
Right.
They didn't even have an API. They didn't even have an API. Twitterific made an app. That's the only reason I started using it.
Apart from the fact that it gets me to talk to all of my mates, and it's a really good form of communication for doing that, they're a bunch of bastards, and I hate them. But I'm still going to talk to my mates because that's where everyone is. So, to hear it's Carl, you know it's bad when Carl Swagger says he's willing to part with $50.
50 bucks, yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
What I don't like is they're getting away from what the hell made them popular in the first place. You know, first off, it was the geeks that were there. But what made them mainstream, what made them the place to go for whatever the topic may be, was because of these third-party app developers, and now they're going to screw them. And that pisses me off.
Yeah, I mean, chat rooms are green. They think they're all a bunch of bastards as well. Cyberpool says he's used the website twice to access Twitter in all the time he's been on it. I agree. Thanks. Bloody awful. Oh, well, that's it. We've got another fantastic tip from Gazmaz. This one is to do with iTunes, I think. Sponsored by the wonderful TechSmith. And TechSmith are sponsoring the Bash next Wednesday at the George Inn. And there's some grub and stuff going on. So thank you, TechSmith. And thank you for Camtasia 2 as well, which helps Gaz do these great tips.
Hi, everyone. Gazmaz here with a quick tip for the wonderful audience of the Mac Show, brought to you from the British Tech Network. This tip also comes with the help of Camtasia from TechSmith. Now, did you know that you can actually create some or change some settings, standard download settings, when you download a podcast? So let's subscribe to the iOS show, for instance, and let me show you how you can change from the standard default settings. So, as you can see here, the iOS show has now or is now downloading. Yep, it's now finished. And you can see that there is a button here at the bottom called Settings. If we click on that button, you'll see that you actually have some options. You can ask iTunes to download every hour, every day, every week, or manually, which is the way I normally keep it. You can change for which particular podcast you're setting the settings for here. And here are the default settings. Download the most recent item and episodes to keep all. Well, I change that straight away. And what I change it to is to download all, so it's always pulling down the podcast whenever I hit a refresh. And unless I specifically want to keep a podcast, much like Don's Screencast Online, plug, plug, I hope the check's in the post, Don. I basically will change this to all unplayed podcasts. Let me show you what that does very quickly. So let's say I've actually already listened to this particular show. I'll mark it as played and hit the refresh button. And as you'll see, it's gone. So it's been deleted from my list. Let me just show you that again with another podcast. Let me just get rid of these. So here's a My Mac podcast. Yes, that's one that I do. I'll mark it as played. And if you watch very carefully, when I hit the refresh button, it will delete all that. Now, there you go. You see, if you haven't changed the settings, that's what will happen. And your hard drive will just fill up. So let me change the settings, press the refresh button, and automatically iTunes will delete the podcast from your queue. Hope that was helpful. That's all I have for you this week. As usual, have a great Mac week.
There we go.
Hello, this is Gazmas. Here's my tip for this week.
Go on then, Will. You do it. Go on, give us a tip. Go on. Give a Gazmas impersonation and do a tip.
What's this tip about?
it's iTunes. I can't remember what it is in iTunes. Gaz, what is it in iTunes? Type it in the website, in the thing. But iTunes settings, there you go. It's iTunes settings is his tip.
That's a bit of a boring tip, isn't it, Gaz? I mean, who cares? Let's be honest.
Who the hell changes iTunes settings?
Oh, Lord. you need to sex it up a bit. How old are you, a
That's
tip?
What I've we got have it. You for. I've got You're it. Supposed to sex it up.
Dude, give us a tip. Come on.
Adam's better at doing this sort of stuff.
Shut up. Put your money where
you're I'll give you a
All mouth and no trousers, Green. Go on.
How to get the most out of your Plex setup with Will Green.
I'll give you a bloody tip.
Look, Kelly G is here.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad she wasn't here earlier. Go on, quickly. Give us a tip, Greeny.
Okay, imagine you got a load of Finder windows open.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of them. And you want to close them all at once rather than doing Command-W, or clicking the little red X.
That was the last tip that he did.
Is this?
Yeah, you're out of date, mate. That was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, all right, then.
Anything else?
This is coming from a guy that wants to use a Power Mac and didn't know anything about Amazon's release day.
I'll give you another tip. If you hold the shift key down...
Yeah.
And then press the minimize on a window, it slows the animation down.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It does that for all of the animations.
Oh, well, there you go. You've learned some as well then, mate. Fantastic tip. There we go.
So like your mission control or what used to be expose, you know, if you want to see all them moving slowly.
Does Will live in a time warp?
this has been in place since Long Apple time. Added all that gooey stuff where you could minimize windows into the dock and they get sucked in. Remember Steve Jobs? I think mm-hmm. it was actually added in specifically for Steve Jobs to do his demos during the keynote.
Since 1995 when they repealed laws on stolen goods. Go on, Greeny. What was that?
Christensen's just claiming on my glory. He's just listening to what I've said, right?
Of course.
And he's just
sort of
expanding on it. He didn't know that. He's just making it up as he goes along. He's basing it on the actual of my tip now and sort of just making the rest up.
I don't get over Will. How the hell have you got such a follow with people that revere you thinking that you're cutting edge when you're such a buffoon?
No, if you read most of the reviews, it says Will hasn't got a clue what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
Most of them do say that.
My mistake. Right. This podcast and all the others would not be possible without UK2.net. They're brilliant. We love them to bits. If you've got a web thing that you want to do, let's say you want to buy a website and you know the domain name, you've got this special idea for your business. If you've got an iPad, an iPhone, even a PC, God forbid, and a Mac, then all you've got to do is go to our website, BritishTechNetwork.com, click on the logo for UK2, that'll take you to their site. You buy your domain, you can go back to our website, and on the sponsors link, it'll give you a whole pile of codes that'll get your money off. you can get yourself a domain, you can get yourself hosting, and you can get a thing called the Site Builder application for £2.95 a month, which means that you can actually have a website up and running in under 10 minutes with UK2. It's a fantastic and super fast service. The Site Builder application, I've had a little play with it. I got a little trial with it. Absolutely stunning. Dead quick, dead easy. If you don't know anything about content management and you really want to get something up and running fast, then for £2.95, the Site Builder application is just invaluable. It'll get your presence. It'll all be rated properly. You get site maps and that kind of stuff. It'll look absolutely dandy. So give it a go. UK2 have been supporting us now for 3 years, and they're going to support us for another two. They've signed up for another 2 years, so they love us to bits, and they love you guys to bits, because apparently you're buying a shed load of service from them. So thank you ever so much for supporting UK2. They've supported us back when we were giving them virtually no listeners, to the point we are giving them a few now, just the odd one.
So if I go to them and I register www.twitter.com, I go to the Site Builder, I can have a social network up and running in 10 minutes.
No, I didn't say you could have a social network. You could have a website up and running in 10 minutes.
Oh, well, that's what Twitter says. They've got a website. I could have one.
Yeah,
like
I think Twitter.com's actually taken as well, DHM. That may not work. I haven't tried. I could be wrong. But
I might replace the I in Twitter with a 1.
Oh, good thinking. or an O, maybe. Clever.
Yeah.
Or an A.
Yeah.
Let's start. Actually, let's start.
Or just drop the E.
Let's start twatter.com.
Indeed.
And twatter.com is going to be a rival to Twitter that's everything that we want it to be.
I'm telling you right now, I am not typing in that address.
Why not?
That's so taken, isn't it?
I'm not typing in that address.
Windrider did the joke that I was going to do, but I refrained.
Titter.com, very good.
No, not that one.
Oh, not the other one.
Oh.
You could expand your network and you could have This Week in Twat. That's another idea.
Oh, there. You went there.
But are you available for that show, Will?
Will went there.
Oh, sorry, Chris. No. Okay.
If you type it in, it's not even funny.
Oh. Oh man, do I need to bleep that? No,
please don't.
No, I don't need to do it. Okay,
that could be the title, actually.
Do I need to bleep that? I want to see if twatter.com is available.
It is not. I'm looking at the website now.
Really?
Twatter.com, I'm looking at it.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
Is it just a holding page?
Nope.
Actual.
No, it is. It's an anti-social network.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. I'm signing up. I live on Twatter.
We can't repeat the latest activity.
Oh, man. I wish I'd have known about this years ago. Yeah. Look at that. What a fantastic thing that is. And I love the devil's horns on the A.
Oh, we're not allowed to verbalize Mary Honk's comment from an hour ago then.
What's that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we're not. No.
We can sort of read it, actually, on the screen. You said that, you mean?
What's that? Hang on, what's that?
You might want to go back and edit that.
Oh, really? Have I put something bad on the screen?
Yeah. It couldn't be worse, to be honest.
I don't see a word there I have to bleep.
No, I don't.
I don't.
Know.
I don't bleep anymore. That's it. I'm done. I'm just.
What if they got an iOS?
I'm just trying to sign
an iOS app.
Oh, that's a good question. Have they got
an iOS app?
This is good audio, isn't it?
Tune into next week's show, and we'll let you know.
Dear. March 29th, 2012 to March 28th.
Okay.
They're event.
All right. Where have we degraded to?
We've moved on to the cool thing, because then that gives me a point where I can edit. See, so
this is my cool thing now.
Oh, you bugger! No. I'm going to do my pick first. Cool thing, Adam. Do you have a cool thing for us, sir?
Sure. I don't know if this has been done because it's an oldie, but it's a goodie, and I just had it sitting here. And you guys know about the Olo clip?
Mm-hmm. Oh yes,
this little guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit pricey, isn't it?
System for your iPhone. Yeah. So you got, you know, a macro, a wide angle. Macro is my favorite. So nice little device. I think it's with 70 US, it's probably come down since then. But oloclip.com. And I use it all the time. You know, it's just I keep it in my pocket. I have it handy. And it's great if you need to go, you know, do a wide angle shot or you want to do a macro of something.
And the beauty is it's optical as well. It's not digital messing around, which ruins your picture quality.
Right. And it takes great photos. If you do, you know, just do a search for a keyword search for OloClip on like Flickr, and there's amazing images being shot with this little thing. So
Kelly in the chat room saying, no, have this one, which is called the Mobi lens. But I've got to say, the OloClip is a bit expensive, but it is. It looks like it fits. This one looks like a clothes peg, Kelly. Jeez. Mr. Swagger, what do you have for us?
I haven't tried the other one. I like all of them. There's more expensive ones. There's less expensive ones. But the big thing on this one is, you know, it comes with this little bag. You throw it in your pocket. And I just always kind of have it on me.
Mm.
And it slides on and off very easily. The only disadvantage is if you use a case, it's not really as handy. But I don't use a case. So maybe I should have, though. And my phone would have survived better when it fell off the back of the car.
Very good. Very good pick.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
still
want to
get one
pick.
Of those.
What's that?
I'm gonna jump in with my pick.
Why?
Because it's so perfect that you mentioned this. Because my pick is called an iPhone app called OloCorrect.
Oh,
it's not even made by the Olo people or anything, and you don't even have to use an OloClip if you use any kind of add-on lens.
Distortion.
Most of them have a lot of distortion in them,
mm-hmm.
And this OloCorrect app fixes it.
Ooh. Hmm.
It'll get rid of like the barreling or pin cushion,
and it's free
and things like that, and it's free.
Well, I'm getting that's going on my phone right now.
So yeah. that's good. I'm glad you jumped the queue there. Well done, spot on. Sorry, Carl, what's yours, mate?
Actually, it's just something I'd seen on the tech feeds this week, and I thought you know that could really come in handy. It's called Pi Mount. And it essentially what it does is it's a little mount. It's a $9 thing for your iPhone. It clips to the top of the plug-in. And it's, you know, like I said, it's $9. Your iPhone, you know, like if you're at a hotel, sometimes the outlets aren't in the best place. You don't want to leave your phone just on the floor or something. It has a little cradle. You can just put your phone and it sits on top of the plug. So it's off the floor or other places, the kitchen or stuff. They have a lot of different things. But I mainly seen it just because it would be nice to use it, you know, in those places in the hotel room where an outlet just isn't handy, but you just don't want to leave your phone laying there on the floor. So it's $9. It might come in handy.
Very good, mate.
Pimount.com. PIMOUNT.com.
Thank you, sir.
.com.
Greeny, what have you got for us?
If you don't mind, I'm going to do two. One is a baddie and one is a goodie.
Okay, a pass and a pick.
Yeah, a pass and a pick. The first one, the goodie, I'm going to go for is what's it called? iExplorer. So iExplorer traditionally was a free app, and I think it's quite expensive. I think it's about £13 or £14. But you don't have to break your iPhone or jailbreak your iPhone to use it. That allows you to upload all sorts of stuff from your iPhone. But more importantly, if you've got text messages from friends who maybe have passed away or something like that, or text messages that you want to archive and keep, it's a great way of grabbing the text messages off your phone and storing them on your Mac. It's a really, really great app.
Excellent.
Yep.
And your pass?
My pass is going to be Bloomin'. Now, I didn't pay for iExplorer. They sent me an NFR copy for review. I love it. It's great. Now, I did pay for, he says bitterly, Dragon Express.
Oh.
Dragon fecking Express. No, that's not swearing.
Don't swear. Yeah, go on.
That's not swearing.
Yeah, go on.
Dragon Express, it cost, I don't know, £40-45. Worked great with leopards and snow leopards. Dragon Express on the Lion doesn't work. And I don't mind if it just doesn't work and they're going to upgrade it soon. But they've just said, no, sorry, that's the end of it. Just not going to work. So people have paid a lot of money, 40, 45 quid, at this, you know, time in people's lives when the economic situation is bad and we're all struggling, and you're going to put that sort of money, that sort of financial investment in a product, and for them to discontinue it after one revision of an OS, I think is absolutely disgraceful. Yeah. And I emailed them as well to ask for their response, and it was basically an FU. So there we are.
All right. Okay. Well, that's not good.
No.
I mean, you've got good speech dictation there with Mountain Lion now, haven't you? So.
No, not really. That's only meant for sort of short sentence tops. And it's also sending it away to be translated on a server outside of your Mac. Whereas Dragon Express is totally internal. The translation is happening on your Mac. So there's a big difference between the two products. I just don't understand what Dragon are doing.
No, it's not a good service.
Absolutely. It's not good at all. And if you look at the forums and the Twitters, it's everybody's up in arms about it.
Mm.
Sort it out. Peer pressure. We need to sort these chaps out and get them to update it. I mean, how hard can it be to just to rejig the app to work on Mountain Lion?
Absolutely.
Bad code in the first place, I say.
Well, Mountain Lion's very similar, though, so it should work. Have you tried just installing it anyway? Does it give you a message that you can't?
Yeah, you can't do it. You click on it.
Yeah.
It jumps up and down and does nothing. Mm. Absolutely nothing. Well, it's a disgrace. If they think they're getting a Christmas card off me, they've got another thing coming. That's all I'm going to say.
Alex has just questioned if it's a sandboxing issue, so.
I don't know.
Mm.
Well, you don't have to be sandboxed if you sell outside the app store, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that it can't be that.
Bad luck, Will. Bad luck, mate.
Yeah, bastards.
Sorry about that.
DHM, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got, it's not an app and or anything, and the phone goes, the minute it's my turn to speak, the phone goes. it's called Secrets, and it's a preference pane for your system preferences.
All right.
Love Secrets.
And it's
somebody answer the phone.
Blacktree.com.
Go on, DHM.
So Secrets by secrets.blacktree.com is the website. It's a preference pane. You click and you download it. If you've got Mountain Lion going, you're going to have to allow downloading from anywhere, because funnily enough, it's not from Apple's point of view, and it installs a preference pane in your system preferences, which allows you access in the GUI for pretty much every single plist hack that has been discovered for OS X since the beginning of OS X. So,
yeah, it's awesome.
The way that Apple doesn't want it, then you can have it. You can have, you know, there's plist hacks for every listed. It looks like a little app in itself in reference pane. You've got a list of every app that there's hacks for down the left hand side. I mean, I'm looking at mine now. There's like system hacks, App Store hacks, BB Edit hacks, calendar hacks, Entourage hacks, mail hacks, all the way down there. You just click on the application and it gives you a list of all the things you can do to that app to tweak it in ways that Apple would really rather you didn't, but you probably wish you could.
I've just tried to put it on and it doesn't do anything. Hmm. I'll have to apply that. Okay. Thank you. My pick is the GoPro HD2 camera. Now, I've bought one for work, and I've been using it to attach it to diggers and cranes and stuff all week, and it gets some fantastic footage. It's really incredible. But the reason that I'm recommending it is next month, you'll be able to get yourself an iOS application for it, for your iPhone and your iPad. And if you've got the Wi-Fi backpack, which only went on sale last week, and I've got two of them, then what you can do is with the application, you'll be able to see what your HD GoPro 2 is capturing, and you'll also be able to control it from the iOS application as well. And it should be a free application, according to everything that everyone's saying about it at the moment, including GoPro. So GoPro 2, fantastic camera. Played with it all week. I've got incredible footage with it. And I might be able to show you a little project next week that I've been building to fly the GoPro around with. But GoPro 2, brilliant. £249 awesome. On Amazon. Beautiful. And when the iOS comes out, you're going to love it, I promise.
So with the iOS app, can you see the things that it's videoing? Or
yeah, yeah, and it comes back at it's full res as well. It sends 1080p back over the Wi-Fi system that's on it.
That's bloody amazing, isn't it?
You have to buy the Wi-Fi backpack, which is an additional item at £99, but you put that on the GoPro, and you get in real time the footage that's but it's not being released officially till next month. So, but you can effectively, if you were flying a model helicopter or something like that, you could effectively fly it whilst watching your iPad.
I've got a tip for you.
Awesome.
Go on then.
Before he does that, I got a 9 o'clock meeting.
No worries, we're finishing up now anyway.
Yeah, I apologize for doing that to you guys.
No.
Thank you for having me, as always.
Christian, you want to stop around for this tip, honestly?
No, leave me alone. No worries, mate. Take care.
Skype's going to ring on the other line in about a minute.
Take care, Adam. Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks, guys.
Will, do the quick tip, and then we're gone.
I don't want the tip. I want the whole thing.
Keep a Labrador happy while you're doing a podcast. Remember that you hid a chili con carne, leftovers of a chili con carne, on your beam in your office for a bit and then give him that.
Oh, how long has it been there?
3 days.
Dude. 3 days. You've got a vet bill coming and you've got the nastiest smell going to filter through your house this evening. You are going to regret that beyond belief.
Well, he seems very happy.
Holy hell. Don't do it. We'll be back again next week. Don't forget, the George Inn in London, near London Bridge, are next Wednesday night, and we'll be partying away and having a few beers and watching the new iPhone be released, and who knows what else Tim's got up his sleeve. We'll have to wait and see. Where can we get a hold of you, Kyle?
Unfortunately, still Twitter, twitter.com/KyleSwagger or KyleSwagger.com.
Okay, Mr. Forsman, where are you?
RSTechnica.com, or you can hit me up on the Twitters as well at ForzMac.
Good man. Greeny?
BritishMac.com. On Twitter, you can follow me as BritishMac. And also, the new BritishComputing.com.
And you'll be on the retro show, but not next Wednesday. With Dr. Happy Mac, where can we get you, mate? You're on mute still.
Hello?
Yeah,
last week
I was bundled with Don. This week I've gone retro, and you can get me on 07711434912.
Dude, you've just given out your phone number on an internet publication. That's a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.